Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
Are you still well? Good. Let's pray for those that we know within our natural families and our church family that are unwell. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are our healer. You are our deliverer, as we've heard through worship. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us. We thank you, Father God, if you are for us, then who can be against us? And Father, this morning we pray that you would anoint your word. You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We ask this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. A very warm welcome. We are still in January 2018. It's going fast, or is that just my household? Do you find you wake up and you think it's Sunday? I thought it was only Monday. That's how fast it seems to go. And it's been a privilege for me to look back at some of the things God has done in my life and look back at some of the things he's done in corporate life. And to simply say, let's encourage one another by letting Tracy in at the back would be a good start, Phil. That's all right. Thanks, Nigel. This is Tracy going, let me in. And there's times in my life, and I'm sure there's times in your lives, that you look at it and you go, God, what are you doing? Or is that just me and Susan? God, you said, and I'm not seeing. And where I get a sense of encouragement is where I can look at God's word. You can see that we're going to be looking at a dreamer. And I don't know about you, but I was a dreamer. I still am a dreamer. And there's things that I think about when I look through scripture. There's things that I believe God is revealing to me through scripture, and I dream. And then I go down the road a short while and I get disillusioned because I think to myself, but you said God. And I mentioned some time ago, without even thinking about it, the whole aspect of scars in our lives. And a scar is a wound that's been healed. So when we look at our natural bodies, we can identify with scars and go, that's the time I put my hand onto that knife blade stupidly and it cut me. But the good thing is it healed. And it's like that in our spiritual walk. I wanted to suggest last week and the week before that there are scars in our lives that we can look at and be just like Abraham, who would build an altar and say, look what the Lord has done every time he walked past this particular circumstance and situation. For you, it could be a person. It could be a place. It could be a memory. It could be a literal scar. And you go, look what God has done in my life. And it gives us a point where there was pain to give thanks. Does that make sense? And that's where this theme came from. So as I started to think about the natural scars in our lives, we looked at Jesus last week and we could see that he was up on the cross and he died for our iniquity and our sin, didn't he? It says, by his wounds, by his stripes, we have been healed. And we could look at Christ and see the physical scars with the nails in his arms and in his legs. And we could see something physical, something tangible. But there are times, I believe, in my life and maybe in your life, that there are scars, there are wounds that we can't see. And we would say that they are emotional scars, they are psychological scars, they are mental scars. And we're going through, I believe, a time in our lives where many men, women, and children are experiencing these mental, emotional, physical scars. And sometimes it's the things you can't see that can be most prevalent within our lives. So I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, so show me a character that could have experienced some of these scars. And I want to read from Genesis 37:37. I want to start in verse 3. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he had been born to him in his old age. He made an ornate robe for him. We sing the songs, a robe of many colors. When his brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. And that's a strong word, isn't it? Hatred. They hated him. Now, can you imagine, I'm sure you can, that if somebody actually hates you, it's something you can read on their faces. And how are you? I'm fine, thank you. There's a coldness, isn't there? And for Joseph, this 17-year-old young man who had a dream, he already experienced in his young age what it was to be hated. And that's not very nice. And I suggest to you that he could have been wounded and he could have been scarred from that first encounter with his brothers there of hatred. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. And there are times in our lives that we meet people and they don't seem to have anything good to say. And I was with a couple last week and they said, if you don't have anything good to say, please don't say anything. Not to me, it was talking about a third party. And it goes on in verse 5, it says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And I don't want to read all of this, but most of us will know the story of Joseph and his dream. We will understand that Joseph had a journey. So I just want to pull out one or two things, one or two thoughts, if I may. And just start at the beginning. So here's Joseph, a young man, and he has a dream. And I want to suggest that in your life, at some point, you have had that same dream. Not the same dream that Joseph had, but a dream, a vision, something that God has given you to hold on to. It may be that I'm going to X, Y, Z. I can remember when I was a young Christian, only 2 weeks old, the Lord spoke to me through a third party and said something. And I thought, this is going to come to pass this year. I best get prepared for it. 15 years later, it came to pass. Now, Joseph, I'm sure, had this dream and he was excited and he wanted to share it with his brothers. Maybe, scripture don't tell us, but maybe he had a touch of arrogance about him. I don't know. But he shared it with his brothers and he shared it with his mother and father and they couldn't get it. And I want to say to you and at this point, if God speaks something to you, be careful who you share it with. Because sometimes, even your brothers, your spiritual brothers and sisters, won't get it. And if you say it in a way that you're all excited, sometimes our spiritual brothers and sisters can't see what God has said, and they can't see what God is doing within your heart. And we can open ourselves up to be disillusioned, and that will cause us a scar, a wound that someone can't see. That will cause us to be maybe offended, and we can carry offense on into our later life, and it can cause damage. So just using this story, if God has given you a vision, a dream, and you've shared it with someone, and they've been disillusioned and caused you to stop believing, start to dream again. Because I can use my testimony and Susan's testimony, we can say, we can look at what God has said, and some of the things haven't come to pass. But we're going to hold on to his word. Now, Joseph was a young 17-year-old man. And they hated him that much that when they seized the opportunity to get rid of him, they took it. When they saw it, they took it. And basically, they put him in a cistern. We could say they put him in a pit. And there, they were going to leave him to die. I can only imagine, because scripture doesn't tell us, I can only imagine what he thought. I'm going to die. My brothers hate me that much. What have I done? I am going to die here in this cistern, in this pit. And maybe he was crying out to God. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. All I can suggest is when we look through the end of the story, we can see that Joseph had a relationship with his maker. So we can quite rightly, I believe, assume that he was calling out to God, save me, help me, I'm going to die. And yet, when his brothers put the rope down or the hand down or whatever it was to pull him out of the pit, he must have thought, thank you. So even at that moment in time where he thought his life was over, there was a glimmer of light. Yet we know the rest of the story. We know that he didn't just get pulled out to go back to his father, but he got sold into slavery. They put the ring around his neck and around his arms tight enough so he couldn't escape, but not too tight so they didn't damage the goods. Because the intended destination was to the slave market where he was to be sold. Maybe for Joseph, on that journey, he was saying, but I had a dream. I had a dream and I shared it with my brothers. And this is what happened. I suggest that this young man was scarred, that he was wounded, that he thought he belonged to a family that loved him. He thought he belonged to a family that cared about him. He thought that he worshipped a God that would look after him. By all means, Lord, help me. I put words into our mouths here, but I want to suggest that this story is far bigger than what we see. That I want to suggest that this young man was psychologically, mentally, and emotionally scarred, and yet we couldn't see them. And for some of us, we have walked through our journey with those same mental and emotional scars, but nobody can see them because we say, yes, everything is well. I want to use the story of Joseph to say that God is our healer. That, and if he is for us, who can be against us? That if God has given you a dream, and that dream could have been when you were 17, it could have been 17 years ago, it could have been 7 minutes ago, hold on to that dream, because if it's a word from God, it will come to pass. But there's this seed, this time, this harvest, yes? So if you get that picture, this seed, so you sow a seed this time, this harvest. But the key there is the time. We sow the seed, and before we see the harvest, there has to be a time. So I want to encourage you today, if I may, by saying that God has sown a seed in your life, but there is a time. There is a time before the harvest comes. And for this young man, God has sown a seed into his life. He gave Joseph a dream. And we look through scripture, and we can see that it didn't go down very well. We can see what's happening as we look through this written word. We can see that his brothers sold him into slavery. Not only did he sell him into slavery, they washed their hands of him. So here's a young man that looked back at his life. Everything was good. His father loved him. He thought his brothers loved him. He was given an ornate coat to remind him of how much he was loved, how much he was favored. God gave him a dream. So this young man at the age of 17 had everything going for him. Then within a split second, he found himself in a pit. Have you been there? Have you been walking this road where everything is well? And then you fall into a pit. You go, God, where are you? God, where are you? You said. He ended up in the marketplace and he was introduced to Potiphar. Potiphar was an influential individual that needed somebody strong to work in his household. He ended up in Potiphar's house, and it says this through scripture. It says that the favor of the Lord was upon Joseph, and Potiphar recognized it, and there wasn't nothing that he didn't give him reign and rule over. So you take this thought. As I'm reading this scripture, I take these thoughts, and I think to myself, what was it about Joseph that caused Potiphar to entrust him with everything? Was it his height, his good looks, his charm? Was it his build? Or was it the fact that God was with him? So I dare to believe that this is a picture of Joseph. Joseph is in the pit, and he's saying, God, help me. I've been in the situation where I've kind of prayed this prayer. Lord, I'll do anything. Please just help me out of this situation. I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll do whatever you call me to do. Just get me out of this situation. And I picture Joseph in that pit saying, Lord, help me and I will serve you. And then when he is saved, he has that opportunity to serve. And I believe that through that pain and that anguish, I believe that through that mental, emotional scarring, that Joseph made a decision to serve God. To serve him while he was imprisoned, while he was in this pit, to serve him while he was imprisoned in Potiphar's house, under guard, under compulsion to serve. God did a mighty work in his life. So what I'm trying to say through that story is this. If you're going through something similar, where God has said something to you and then all hell breaks loose, everything seems to be in turmoil, hang on to what God says. Joseph was a man that experienced God's favor. And I believe he experienced God's favor because he was faithful. He was faithful in the place he was put. And I want to suggest to us as we start 2018, we come to the end of this first month nearly, that God is a faithful God, that his word is true. The things that he said, he still says. The word that he's given you, he still wants to honor. But there's something that happens in the meantime. There's seed, time, and harvest, and it's that time. And when we look through the life of Joseph, we will see that from the age of 17, he had a difficult life until he got to the end of the story, the bit that I want to finish with. But there was a time of maturing. There was a time of trusting. So I want to say to you, if you've experienced or are experiencing something similar, and you feel that you've been abandoned, if God is for you, who can be against you, is what Scripture says. And that there's a time to mature, but there's also a time to be faithful. To be faithful means to be full of faith. So if we're full of faith, we will not be full of unbelief, will we? If we're full of belief, we won't be unbelieving. So this man, I believe, was full of faith. He was saying, if this is where I am, Lord, if this is where you want me to serve, then I'm going to serve wholeheartedly. The Bible says, serve God wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? I'll give you all of me, not half of me. And I believe that Joseph had an opportunity to grumble, to complain, or to be faithful. And he said to himself, Scripture doesn't tell us, but I allude to this, I will serve you where I am. You answered me in my time of trouble. You lifted me out of the pit. I will serve you where I am. And he started to build a relationship with God that came out of this man's lifestyle so much that when Potiphar looked at him, he trusted him. And there's times in my life where I've said, God, why don't you trust me in this? And the Bible says, if you can be trusted with a small thing, then I can trust you with a big thing. So let me trust you with the small things first. So that's an encouragement, I believe, because do what you've already been called to do with a fullness of heart, a fullness of joy, and see what God does. Use the story of Joseph, read it for yourself. I'm paraphrasing, I'm taking bits and pieces as they're brought to remembrance. I'm taking the beginning, the middle, and the end and trying to link them together to say to you and me afresh today that if God's given you a dream, he's not given up on you. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God is the same yesterday as he was today and as he will be forever. So can I encourage us afresh to grab hold of what God is doing in our lives? And if you've been scarred mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if someone has spoken into your life and you've felt rejected, then make a decision today to say this far and no further. I'm trusting you and your word. If you've been someone that's relied on your own ability and you end up and you feel that you've been buried in a pit, call out to God and say, Lord, you're the lifter of my head. I will serve you. Let God be the one that brings the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let him be your strength. So Joseph was in a pit. He ended up in Potiphar's house. And then he got to a position where he was entrusted with everything. And you know the story that Potiphar's wife was attracted to him because he was well built and he was handsome. Her husband maybe was never at home and she had eyes for this man. Here's a man of honor, of dignity. Here's a man who's been entrusted with something. And what will happen in the natural course of events, when we are called to do something and be entrusted with something from God, the enemy's right there behind us, trying to dissuade us from doing the right thing. The enemy will always say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to be honest. This is just a white lie. This is just a small indiscretion. And what will happen is those small indiscretions will build up and build up until they become a big one. And then what will happen is we've seen it in lives of our friends and associates. They don't feel they can go to church because they don't feel clean. So sad, isn't it? But Joseph said, No, I've been entrusted with everything. I can do anything, I can have anything apart from you. And there are things in your life and things in my life that God gives us access to, but there are certain things he says don't touch. And if he's telling you not to touch, don't touch. Be like Joseph, where he can be entrusted. Because on his journey, I believe part of the healing was, maybe he was arrogant at the beginning. And maybe through trial and tribulation, God has started to knock off the rough edges. Maybe through longevity, because God didn't answer his prayers straight away or otherwise didn't bring to fruition his dream straight away, there was a journey of perfection. The Bible says that we are going from glory to glory. We're on a journey that we are diamonds with rough edges, and God uses his Holy Spirit, which I guess we could say is sandpaper, and it knocks those rough edges off. This young man, here he is from being the flavor of the month, being put into a pit, being sold into slavery, being bought by Potiphar, being propositioned by his wife. And then when he said no, what the enemy does so often is he falsely accuses us. So here's Joseph falsely accused, and because he was an honorable man and he refused her advances, he ended up in prison. So he was from the pit into slavery, into prison. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be going, God, just like Gideon did when we shared last week, God, where are you? Mighty warrior. What do you mean, mighty warrior? If you're for me, why have all these bad things happened? And Gideon said the same thing. Why has all this happened to us if you are for us? And I guess that you in your life, you could be saying the same thing. When you walk into that situation where you're feeling down, you're feeling buried and overwhelmed, and it's not a physical thing. Someone hasn't struck you. They haven't physically hurt you, but emotionally they have. Or maybe there's a situation in your life that you can't let go of. You keep saying, yeah, but they buried me, they sold me, they betrayed me. Joseph, I guess, had a different journey. And I know that because of the end of this passage. I can say that with confidence because of what he said when his brothers bowed down before him. When the fulfillment of the dream came, I can say this with confidence, that he had the opportunity to let go and let God, as the old hymn writer put pen to paper. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God. But it's difficult when you're in a pit, isn't it? And then God answers a prayer and he gets you out of the pit. And it's so difficult sometimes to stay focused, because now we're out, we don't need God. So maybe we can go our way. But Joseph went God's way. So I want to encourage us this morning by looking at this young man's life, by looking at some of the things he had to put up with, by looking at the journey. There was seed this time and then this harvest. Yet for me, so often I plant the seed, I want to dig it up to see if it's grown. We planted some carrots for the children. We did this. We planted some carrots last year, or our grandchildren planted some carrots. Every other week I was digging them up to see if there was anything on the end. And then of course I tried to put it back again and it would die. So often I want to suggest to you that you do the same with what God gives you. Yes, okay, Lord, I'm going to sow this. I'm going to sow this thought. I'm going to sow this situation, this circumstance. And then you start to dig it up to see if it's growing. God says to seed time and harvest. You'll see the harvest. But it's that time. I am so impatient. Susan's going to teach me how to cook. You need to pray for her. Because I'm the person that would put the Yorkshire puddings in the oven, then look to see if they're risen yet. And then, of course, what's going to happen? They're going to fall, aren't they? You need to leave it for 20 minutes. And I think we do that in our spiritual walk. And I'm using myself as an example, because when I look through Scripture, I look at the life of Joseph and I look at the life of David, and there's so many parallels for my life. And God's encouraged me through these men. And I want to encourage you through this young man's walk. I want to say there's times in your life where you won't be able to see the scar. You won't be able to look at your hands or your face or any part of your body and see where someone has stabbed you. But mentally, emotionally, you might feel those scars. Joseph had the opportunity to grow bitter, but he didn't. And I can say that because of the end of the story. He had the opportunity to grow bitter, but he let go. And he believed God. And he said, if this is where I am, if I'm ended up in the prison, then I'll serve you. And it says that the prison guard gave him favor because they saw that God was with him. So what's the difference? The difference is the Spirit of God. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible said, there is freedom. So even though he was locked up in this prison, he was free within himself. Why? Because of the Spirit of the Lord. So I want to encourage you again this morning that wherever you are on that journey, if there's scars, wounds that have been healed, or wounds that are being healed, let God do that healing. Let him bring his word, which is a balm that will be applied upon your life afresh today. Let him come upon you in a way that you can see him clearly. So can I suggest to you that you could use this morning to say, Lord, I have been wounded by XYZ. Lord, I have been scarred, and no one can see it, but it's affecting me inside. It's affecting me inside. Lord, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, I know this seed and this time. Help me to be patient through that time so that I can see that harvest, because that harvest will come. This promise is over my life that was given to me 20 years ago, and I haven't seen them fulfilled, but I'm hanging on to the dream because God has said. And if God has said, he's faithful to his word. And we look at this man's journey and we can see that God said, God gave him a dream, and then right the way down here, it came to fruition. So here's this man who was loved by his father. He was favored, highly favored. And I guess because of that, he grew taller than he should have done. And he shared it with his brothers. And his brothers rejected him. His brothers put him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. Then he was falsely accused. Have you been falsely accused? Has someone said something and it's not true? And what you want to do is you want to grab them. No, maybe not grab them. You want to have words with them. Say, this isn't fair. Do you know what? Life is not fair, is it? Life is not fair. But if God has said, and we remain honourable and wholehearted, then God will answer our prayers. That God will give us the end of that dream, the fruit seed time harvest. We will see a harvest time. So he ends up in prison. And while he's in prison, he's been shown favour. And you know the story where the king's baker and cupbearer are placed in prison. The king clearly is not having a good day. And they both have a dream. And Joseph says, my God will give me the ability to interpret your dreams. And he interpreted the dreams, but they never came to pass. Not yet. They had a dream. They shared it with Joseph. Now, here's the difference. Joseph had a dream. He shared it with his brothers, and they despised him. They had a dream. They shared it with Joseph, and he blessed them. Well, one of them, anyway. He blessed them by giving them the interpretation. And it came to pass that the baker had his head lifted off, and the cupbearer had his head lifted up. And Joseph said to him, remember me. Remember me. Now, can you imagine going through this life, this Christian walk? We want to bless people on our journey, don't we? And sometimes we sow seeds and we don't want any return. But we know there will be a harvest, because unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. But if we render that seed useless to us, what I mean by that is we say, this is yours, I want nothing in return. It's sown, and because it's sown in the spiritual realm, it will produce a harvest. But there are times where we sow seeds in people's lives. We say, if I do this for you, I want you to do that for me. And what do? Sometimes they let us down. And that can be an emotional or physical or mental scar that we don't realize is still a scar. But if we allow that scar to become a wound, we can look back at it and say, yes, but look what God has done. There's, I won't go into names, because at some point we want to put all this stuff online so you can listen to it. But there was a friend of mine, I grew up with him through school, and I used to repair cars for a living. And he had a major accident in his car, and he was only third party insured. So he came to me and he said, Will, because that's what they called me, Willie, will you help me? Now, I said yes. And this car cost me about £1,500 to repair. That's what it cost me, with no labour charges. And I said to him, before I start the work, this is going to be the cost. He said, 15 is better than 4,000. Please carry on with the work. I did the work at a time where interest rates had gone sky high. They were from 15 to 17%, and Susan and I were both double shifting to try and keep a roof over our head, and we had very little money. And I borrowed this money to repair my friend's car, and he didn't pay me. He didn't pay me. And over the years, I've seen this individual, and I've loved him. And he thinks I've forgotten, but I haven't forgotten. I've given it to God, because I sold that situation into God's kingdom. I said, Lord, I'm giving this to you. And it no longer causes me pain. It used to cause me pain. It don't cause me pain anymore. Why? Because I sold it. And there'll be a time and there'll be a harvest because of that. And that was many, many years ago. So maybe someone has betrayed you. It's time to say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I no longer want to carry this scar. I want it to be a wound. Because Joseph, I'm sure, felt betrayed. But while he was in the prison, he had the opportunity to be wholehearted. So he started, I'm sure, praise God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still alive. Thank you, Father God, that you didn't abandon me. Thank you, Lord, that I have my health. There are many things that we can give praise and thanks for. There are many things that we can look at it and we can either allow the circumstances to overwhelm us and we die in it, or we can give thanks. Lord, I am the light in the darkness. Thank you. He was the light in this dark prison, and the prison authorities gave him favor. The cupbearer abandoned him until the day came that his master had a dream, and nobody could interpret this dream. And then suddenly the cupbearer remembered, I know a man. He answered my prayer. He interpreted what was said to me, and it came to pass. So here we have this young man who was favored by his father. He was put into a pit by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused in Potiphar's house. He ended up in the prison. He was abandoned, and now he's standing washed, shaved, clothed before the king, the first in command in all the country. And he started to interpret the dream, and he says to the king, find yourself a wise man that can bring this about, a wise man that will take all the stores, build storehouses, and provide for this country of ours, this nation of ours. Find a wise man. And the king says, there's none wiser than the one standing in front of me. What did he see? He saw God through the eyes of this young man. And yet here he is, a man who was betrayed, forgotten, and he could have grown up bitter, but he didn't. And I'm using this story because I think it speaks for itself, that there's no way you can go through that kind of betrayal, that kind of mental and emotional turmoil, without it affecting you, unless you choose to give it to God. There's no way he could have come right the way through this whole story and say what he said at the end without God being in his life. There's no way he could have had favor from the prison, favor from Pharaoh, favor from Potiphar, if God wasn't with him. So I want to encourage you today to let go and let God, and realize there's seed time before the harvest comes. Your harvest will come. So here we have what's happening in this nation is this famine, and the only people being provided for were the people who were related to this mighty king, because he listened to what God had said and done through Joseph. And his brothers, his father's household, got to hear about it. And the story is, they go to find food. And then there's lots of other bits and pieces that happens through it. But it comes to the point where his brothers are on their knees in fear. They dare not look up at Joseph. Joseph was no longer the 17-year-old boy. He was a man second only to the king. And they kept their heads down in fear of their lives. And if you think about that dream that he had, it was coming to pass. And because of the situations and circumstances Joseph found himself in, because of God doing a work in his heart, because of him being wholehearted, not half-hearted, because of him being faithful, full of faith, he looked at his brothers and he said, fear not, this all happened so God could save a nation. And you will look back at the circumstances you've been going through, if indeed you are going through them or have been through them. And if you give them to God, you will stand there when the time of harvest comes. Sarah, you will look back at your situation with your family and say, why? But you'll look back in a few months or even years' time and say, this all happened so God could save. God has a plan and he has a purpose for you. Now I'll read some scripture. In Romans 8:6, it says this: the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is peace. So I want to suggest that this young man had a mind that was governed by the Spirit, and so can you. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing and perfect will. As we allow God to transform our minds, then he will reveal his plan and purpose to us. Staying in Romans 15:5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify God, Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to have the same attitude. He wants us to see his word through the eyes of Jesus. In Ephesians 4:22, it says this: you were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And I believe that Joseph had that same opportunity to put off the old self, to put off the old selfish attitudes, maybe a touch of arrogance, I don't know. And he started to be matured through his trial and tribulation. Because trial and tribulation, it will produce something. It produces hope, and hope will not disappoint. So if you've gone through a tough time in the past or in the present or even in the future, put off the old self because it's being corrupted. Put on the new self. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, and that's to see yourself as God sees you, whether you're in the pit or you're in the palace. My final scripture, and I'll invite Sarah and Phil to come back on, is this: for I know, Jeremiah 29:11, this is still true for you today and for me today. God can say this afresh to me and to you: for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He has a plan for you. He had a plan for Joseph. Seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. He has a plan. A plan for you and a plan for me. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Could you imagine if Joseph actually read this scripture? If he actually had an opportunity to unscroll a scroll and go, yeah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper me and not harm me. And yet, there he was, not in prosperity and yet harmed. But because he allowed his attitude to be changed, because he put on the mind of Christ, because he believed God had a plan and a purpose, seed time and harvest, because he believed that wherever I am, Lord, I'm going to serve you wholeheartedly, he could have taken hold of this scripture for himself. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. To prosper you. You. And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Can I leave us with that? That God has a plan for your life. He has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and to give you a hope. But there's a seed that's been sown. There's a time and then there's a harvest. I want to encourage us today as we look back at what God has done, look back at what God is doing, and maybe you are going through a tough time right now, then I want to encourage you with this, not because I'm a cheerleader for the church, but because I'm someone that believes God's word. Not because I'm a cheerleader for the church, but I'm somebody that has seen God's plans and purposes unfold in my life through trial and tribulation. I had to go through the trial and the tribulation to find the hope. You are the light in the darkness, wherever you are, whether you're in the palace or in the pit, whether you're falsely accused or not. Be salt and be light. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.